Hello and welcome to Gilmore Ball Z, the podcast where I show my wife Dragon Ball Z, she shows me Gilmore Girls, and we both try to find some kind of common ground. I'm Grant.
I'm Paige.
And this week we watched episode 116 of Dragon Ball Z Kai and season 5, episode 18 of Gilmore Girls. But before I get into that, we have a guest today, Nisha from a host of podcasts, returning guest. Nisha, why don't you say hi?
Hi. Thanks, guys, for having me on, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming back. So let's see here. You're on, you have Speak On It. You have Did You Have To?
Mm-hmm.
And you have, so you're still doing So Here's What Happened, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That one also.
Am I forgetting anything?
She writes articles.
I am a writer also. I write for But Why Though, where you can also find basically all my podcasts except for Speak On It, because that's my little baby project that I start, that got me started in podcasting in the first place. So,
yeah. I didn't know that.
Yep. That one, I decided to do a podcast and I said, screw it, I'll do it myself. Which I learned, doing a podcast by yourself is hard when you can't always get a guest. So, but through doing that, I've met lovely people like you guys. And then eventually I found my way to But Why Though. And I also decided I got more comfortable doing podcasting. And that's how I now have 3 shows, which I need to calm the hell down. Even though I have an idea for us 3 to do a podcast. So just saying.
I mean, I would be listening on board, but at the same time, I think when, like, we got to meet in person between this episode and our last episode with you, and I think you said that you have to be cut off from starting any new podcast.
That's true. I believe you specifically said, stop me from making another podcast.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
I'm like 90% sure you did.
And our pizza was huge.
That's true. It was. That was so great seeing you guys over that break. It was awesome. But yes, you guys are very good friends to me because y'all know when I should not be doing any more podcasts at all. And that goes for anyone else who knows me. You have to stop me if I say I have an idea for a podcast.
I'm much the same way with pretty much any creative project.
Yeah, and how many have you finished? So this week we watched.
We're more than halfway through this one. Yeah, so this is an interesting case because we've talked before since you've been on the show about your experience with both shows and how much you love Dragon Ball Z. And this is a case where actually when I said, hey, Nisha, do you want to be on this season? Nisha said, yeah, sure. And then picked what episode she wanted to do. And, you know, anybody, our devoted listeners will remember that Nisha loves Vegeta. And so those of you who are in the know about Dragon Ball Z can probably guess what she wanted to do. But it happens to fall on the finale of our season. We don't usually do guests for season finales. So this was just kind of a, well, best I can do is this, right? Where this is an episode where Vegeta gets to do some cool stuff. So it's a bit of an awkward thing because you didn't specifically request this episode, but did this happen to fall on, like, do you have any particular feelings associated with this particular part of the Boo arc? It's a part that gets swept under the rug pretty often. There's not a lot of buzz about, oh, that time Vegeta fought Pui Pui, but I'm just curious, did this kick up any memories for you?
So I vividly remember this episode, and maybe it's because I've always seen the gif of Vegeta dodging. Like, when he's doing, like, if you, like, put Vegeta fight in a GIF, like, search bar, it's usually, this is the first one that pops up, and I always think, like, oh, that's dope. But I also vividly remember it, because I remember, like, again, me being a weeb, and in junior high, whenever the show was on, I just know it was before high school, I would literally run home so I could catch this show before, so I didn't have to stay up until 2 a.m. to catch on Toonami later. I definitely vividly remember this, because I haven't really rewatched the Boo saga. I think it was just like, I haven't rewatched it since like when it originally aired on Cartoon Network when I was younger. So like watching this is like, oh, I do remember all this. I do remember this fight and it's kind of dope. I have some other thoughts on it, but I always like the whole when the alien, when, what his name, Pui Pui, when he thinks he has the upper advantage against Vegeta, when he's like, this is 10 G's of gravity, and I just remember, like, snickering. I'm just like, hi, you...
Oh, baby. Oh, dear, sweet Pui-Pui. Like,
oh, sweet Pui-Pui. You about to get owned.
So young. So innocent.
Yeah. But no, I think that's, like, one of my fondest memories of it.
Yeah, so, like I said, we watched episode 116 of Dragon Ball Z Kai, and season 5, episode 18 of Gilmore Girls. So, Paige, why don't you jump into it and let us know what happened this week on Dragon Ball Z Kai.
So last week on Dragon Ball Z Kai, the Z Fighters jumped into Babidi's lair, despite the Supreme Kai saying, no, that's a bad idea, don't do that. And we get a little bit of additional details for why they didn't listen to him this week, because apparently everything the Supreme Kai says is stupid. He gets really freaked out because Pui-Pui, who named him Pui-Pui? Why do I have to keep saying Pui-Pui? I feel like a toddler who has to go to the bathroom and is trying to say it in a cutesy voice, like, or an adult talking to a toddler. Do you have to go Pui-Pui? No. So the albino xenomorph is fighting, and Vegeta won the rock, paper, scissors competition to fight him. And Supreme Kai seems a little freaked out, but Vegeta is not concerned. Pui-Pui says, oh, you're stronger than you look, but not strong enough, which I think is the Dragon Ball equivalent of this episode is 8 seconds short, because everybody says that, and it means nothing.
Yeah.
True. Vegeta's doing actually pretty well. He's really fast and really strong after 7 straight years of training since Cell came on the scene. And he wasn't strong enough to fight Cell. So he has put all of his Vegeta feelings, all of his self-loathing and anger and insecurities into training. And he is definitely more than enough to fight Pui-Pui. So down watching from a screen like 8 levels below, Babidi decides that it's time to give Pui-Pui an advantage. Whether or not it's unfair is subject to debate, because Supreme Kai definitely thinks it's unfair, and Vegeta... Gohan and Goku are like, well, he kind of needs the help. Yeah, let's give him the unfair advantage of being teleported. This one was weird. The interior of the room was teleported to Pui-Pui's home planet, which doesn't have any structures in it. So the entire planet is on the inside of this room. I'm not sure how that worked. I'm not going to ask that question because there's no answer. Like, that makes no sense, but sure.
I mean, when you think about the time chamber,
I guess so.
I guess that's what I got kind of like, okay, so it's kind of like the time chamber then, where they're in a different void.
It's magic.
It's more weird that they're transported to the planet on the inside of the room. So it's not like there's, a TARDIS effect going on where it's bigger on the inside. They are teleported. The inside of the room as a whole is teleported to an alien planet. Sure.
Right. It's magic.
Magic.
It's okay. It's magic.
Alien tech and magic.
Literally, a wizard did it.
A wizard did do it. And Pui-Pui is pretty sure he's going to win now because he has something that is very challenging. 10, as Nisha said, 10 times gravity. which Dragon Ball fans will know, like, Goku has been practicing in that since, like, when he was in King Kai's planet, when he first got killed fighting, oh, darn it, what is that vegetable's name?
Raditz.
Raditz, thank you. I was thinking cabbage, and I was like, no, that's Nappa. Kong vegetable. So Pui-Pui gets really cocky and everyone's like, oh, sweet baby, I'm going to punch you in the face till you die. And this is actually pretty fun just to watch Vegeta enjoy himself. He thinks this is fun. He even tries to get quippy and it doesn't work. They're like, this is like a game show. And he's like, more like a lame show. Like, okay, Vegeta. How was fifth grade for you?
Dad jokes. Dad joke, Vegeta.
I feel like his are more negative. Like, I feel like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that wasn't high hungry, I'm dad.
Yeah.
That was like kid in the back of the car who doesn't want to go on an educational field trip.
Yeah, that's a more accurate description.
Like, I just pictured him in the back of a station wagon, like arms crossed, slumped back, frowning, while like Chi Chi's like, "No, this is good for you." Really, the member of the Dragon Ball cast most likely to make dad jokes is Gohan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So the Pui Pui fight is over incredibly quickly. When Dragon Ball takes two episodes for toddlers to beat each other up, it takes half an episode for Vegeta to beat up Pui Pui, one of Babidi's elites. So they decide they might want to set down Yakon. It has yak and then on. It does not rhyme with bacon. I really wish it was Yakin, but it wasn't. Yakon is described as a beast. The devil isn't sure if maybe... The devil, not to be confused with Mr. Satan, isn't sure if they should send down Yakon, if it's really worth it yet, because he doesn't want them to get eaten before the devil gets a chance to fight them. Also, I will give cash money to Toriyama myself. I will put it in an envelope and send it if there's a fiddle fight. But for now, there is only Yakon. He's a big green dude. He's hungry. He's angry. You'd think he was a wild beast, but he seems to be actually really sentient. He just wants to feast on your light and energy. There's actually some kind of interesting world building here, but I'll get to that in a second. They send Yakon up, this horrifying, horrible beast, and it's Goku's turn. Goku gets to fight Yakon. And once again, it's not that hard for him. Like, Yakon is incredibly slow compared to him. Goku is like, well, you're faster than I thought you'd be, but you're still really slow. And so when Babidi sends him to Yakon's home planet, it's a different challenge. Instead of being higher gravity, it's completely dark. You can't see anything. The Supreme Kai is completely discombobulated. And it seems like for a second this might be a challenge for Goku, but it's not. It's really not. He can sense the vibrations, and so he can see Yakon fighting as well as if he was lit up. And it's really interesting, because what we find out in a second, the Supreme Kai is like, I can't see anything. And Goku and Gohan and Vegeta look at him like Elle Woods getting into Harvard, like it's hard? Like, why can't you sense someone vibrating and see their energy? Like, are you a Supreme Kai or are you not? The Supreme Kai guy is not all he was cracked up to be.
Yeah.
But
it's more of just a title.
It's more of a title. I think it's like the Queen of England, where he just kind of sits somewhere with his corgis and just, like, only pops up when need be. And so this more reinforces the fact that the Z fighters aren't really sure if anything is as big a deal as it should be. We get power levels again, actually, because the whole point of this for Babidi is for Yakon to absorb Goku's energy so they can put it into Buu and get his level up. And we find out that Goku is putting off 3,000 Kilis. Kili is the unit of measurement they just made up.
I do love it. Just, oh, Babidi has his own bullshit power level measure.
I mean, it does.
I was like, what it's is like, that? Like, I was like, it's kind of like with the scanner.
Yeah.
They just said like 9,000. I'm like, sure, 9,000 what? Like, can we, volts? Oh, like, can I get a metric? Nope, it's just like a number.
No, that's a number.
The Frieza Force uses the metric system. Babidi uses Imperial.
Well, and the thing is that...
What the hell is a Keely? A Keely is 4 squanches. I mean, whatever.
The thing is, it makes sense for him.
A parsec?
It makes sense for him to have a measure if he's trying to fill up Boo. You know, maybe he needs to have something. But we learned that Goku is 3,000 Kilis, which they assume is an error, but it's actually not. Yakon is 800 Kilis, and 300 Kilis can destroy a planet. No word on what Boo is in terms of needed Kilis, but the Supreme Kai has a Kili sensor that can sense Kilis through a video screen, because, sure. Goku decides to go Super Saiyan to, like, basically be the Supreme Kai's nightlight. He's like, I have a light that goes with me wherever I go. And now I want the fan fiction of, like, little Gohan scared of going to the bathroom at night, asking his dad to light up for him. But he lights up, he goes Super Saiyan, and this is where kind of interesting world building comes in. Apparently Yakon comes from a planet where the beings feed off of light. He sucks up Goku's light like a Kirby, and then Goku goes back to his non-Super Saiyan state. And this is especially interesting because they live in a completely dark planet. So I am really curious how, and I can ask later, how this being evolved on this planet where there is no food for it. But,
right.
I mean, it's an interesting contrast, but it doesn't make biological sense, but it's Dragon Ball.
Toriyama didn't think that far ahead.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming, like, they can eat, he can he has two ways of getting nourishment: consuming light energy or actually eating people.
That's fair. And,
like, just to give nourishment. Because, like, we see him eat the two guards that literally work with, like, work at the same palace or whatever that thing is.
But, yeah. I also have questions.
To your point.
I also have questions about Babidi's employee retention strategy, but that's another time. So Goku decides that the solution to this is the all-you-can-eat buffet strategy, where you just keep feeding the guy until he explodes, or you have to roll him down the street. And so he just keeps off giving, you know, now that he's prepared, he goes Super Saiyan, he keeps giving energy, and Pui Pui basically explodes.
See, I was a little confused in what happened in that section.
Yeah.
Because it could have been, I just overfeed you until you explode, but there was, like, a burst of ki at the end. So I think it was more of, like, the video game logic thing of, like, trick you into opening wide so I can hit you in your weak point, and he just, like, jammed a ki blast down his throat.
Okay.
That's how I read it, but it was very vague.
Yeah, I like how Vegeta's take on this strategy turned from, this seems stupid even for Kakarot, to... Kakarot is a lot of things, but he isn't a fool. And it's like, Vegeta, are you sure?
Well, that's what I kind of like had to take a moment. I'm like, did Vegeta just compliment Goku and say he's no fool?
Because he's a fool.
Yeah, like,
he's not a smart man.
If we're gonna compliment Goku, that's not the place to start.
Right. It was just like one of those moments where, like, I missed this. Vegeta gave Goku a compliment. But it's just, like, one of those things, like, I know he's uttered the words, Kakarot, you fool, at least a dozen times.
Many times.
Well, and he thought this was a stupid strategy when Goku started.
Yes.
Like, okay. But Goku, shine on you, little sunbeam. He explodes Yakon. That's the end of the episode. They go down to the next level, and maybe we'll get a Gohan fight next. So that is what happened. Nisha, did I miss anything?
No, I think you're good.
Grant and Nisha, what happened on Gilmore Girls?
Oh boy. So on Gilmore Girls, we had like four plots.
There were so many plots.
We had
too many.
The group that are quickly becoming like our four principal characters this season. We had a Lorelei plot and a Rory plot, obviously, and then we had a Luke plot and a Lane plot.
And
so I'm going to get Lane out of the way first, because like a proper Lane plot, it had nothing to do with anything else in the episode, and it was pretty short. So Lane has, like, we get a quick establishing scene of Lane and Zach at the music shop, just to remind us that what's-her-name is still a thing.
Sophie,
played by Carole King, is still a thing, and that Lane really looks up to her, and... kind of idolizes her and wants to be her protege. And Sophie's like, okay, you're just kind of this weird kid that keeps coming into the shop. Please leave me alone. Later in the episode, Lane's like, hey, Zach, we need to go shopping to go get cleaning supplies. I know how much you love shopping for cleaning supplies. And he's like, yeah, babe, I love shopping for cleaning supplies. Which, like, okay, who are you and what have you done with Zach? That doesn't match... Zach, the last time we saw him, didn't know what it, like, not literally, but I would believe that the Zach last time we saw him does not know what a sponge is. Now apparently he loves shopping for cleaning supplies. Okay, whatever. And he's like...
Maybe he's grown.
Maybe he's grown, weirdly, in the last, like, two episodes, or however long it's been since we last saw him. He's like, oh, well, I got someplace I gotta be, so I can't. And she's like, where? Like, I'm going out with some friends. Like who? Doing what? And he's like, whoa, why are you giving me the third degree? And so Lane's like, okay, something fucky's going on here. And so she goes out and buys all the cleaning supplies, and then as she's walking home with them, she sees him outside the music shop talking to Sophie, and her mind immediately goes to he's cheating on her with the much older woman who runs the music shop.
That's where it usually goes in healthy relationships, when you see your boyfriend talking to a woman.
Apparently, which makes no sense.
A woman who owns a shop that you frequent.
That you want to, like, set up a meeting with her.
In the hobby that you both share.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. Right. So this leads to a really great scene that I'll cover in a minute, because I want to do Rory's plot before we get there. But there's a really great scene between Lane and Rory and Paris, where they're all talking about their respective romantic situations. And Lane basically decides she's going to march over there and get her man back. And she's not sober. and she stumbles into the music shop, starts yelling at Sophie about how you don't know him like I know him. And I know you're experienced and have been with a lot of men, and I haven't been with any men. And so you can offer him something I can't, but I can offer him more that you can't. And she starts yelling at her, and she's confused. Eventually she figures out what she's talking about and is like, hold on, come over here, and pulls back a curtain, and we see Zach with these two other guys we don't know playing bluegrass music. And Zach's playing the banjo, and he's like, oh, yeah, I love bluegrass, and I'm in a bluegrass band, and I play the banjo, but I didn't want you to know because I thought you'd make fun of me because it's like the opposite of rock and roll. And she's like, no, I love it. Like, I love that it's something that you're passionate about, and I love that you play the banjo, and like, this is nice. You don't need to hide this from me. And he's like, oh, thanks, babe. And then they kiss, and that's just kind of the end of the Lane plot. So that happened. mini Rory plot. We find out at the beginning of the episode that Logan hasn't called her in a while, even though at the end of last episode he was calling her incessantly. So we're just going to go ahead and wipe away that supposed narrative victory she had gained, even though it was obviously a loss to anybody who was paying attention. And also Doyle hasn't been calling Paris. So both...
For some reason.
It doesn't matter. Who gives a shit? They're both garbage men and nobody cares. Like, I cannot stress enough how much I don't care about any of the relationships we've discussed so far.
I can tell. And also, I agree.
You believe me, it's not better with context.
Yeah, no.
So...
I would say the worst you can say about Doyle is he's milquetoast.
Yeah, Doyle's just boring. So, Paris is, like, wallowing about it, but Rory's like, no, I'm gonna go out and, like, do something instead of wallowing. And Paris is like, you're right, I'm going to go out and do something too. So Rory packs all her stuff and heads back home to spend the weekend with her mom and finds that Paris is already there.
Jesus. I'm sorry. Paris is just a copycat.
She has her own
stuff going on, I get that. But
I love Paris, but she's also kind of the worst sometimes.
Yes.
So we find out that apparently the situation with Paris's parents hasn't gotten any better since we last discussed it back in, like, season 3 or whatever. Where they fled the country. And so Paris literally has nowhere to go, so she decides to go crash at Lorelei's. So then we get this thing where there's this town event happening. I'm realizing now I actually kind of did this backwards. I should have done this the other way around. There's this town event happening that the three of them go to, and Miss Patty, the three of them being Rory, Paris, and Lane. And Miss Patty has brought her famous punch that apparently, like, could like, strip the finish off of a car. And the three of them get very drunk and talk about their man problems. And I have to say, I feel robbed that we're almost 5 whole seasons in and we're only just now getting a scene of Rory, Paris, and Lane together talking about garbage men.
It's true.
And drinking. Yeah. Like,
that should have been happened.
Yes. Why was this not the premise of the entire show?
No, the... The yeah, things we've been robbed of with Paris, because, like, more Paris and Lane, awesome. More Paris and Jess, please. More Paris and Lorelei all day, every day.
But, like, also, it's that could have been a spinoff, like, a really good spinoff of just, like, those three, like, of them, like, being, like, say they get a place together.
Yeah, the three of them graduate college and go get a place together. I would eat that
or
up.
Or even just, like, watch that. The era of the web series, when we had those things where, like, TV shows during the summer had, like, 6-minute long episodes.
Yeah, that'd have been good.
Like, Paris is trying to be, like, Paris is in med school. Rory is trying to work as a freelance journalist, and Lane is trying to get her band off the ground. Like, that's a show. That is a show that is more interesting than anything they have done with Rory in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So anyway, Rory takes Paris's phone away so she can't call Doyle, and so then Paris is like, fine, I'm gonna go to the bathroom, and then wanders into town and starts harassing people for money to use a payphone to call Doyle.
Shoeless.
After she gave her shoes away. I was just like, okay, that makes no sense. You can still move without shoes.
They're very drunk.
But also, like, true. This is a drunk, shoeless woman dressed in, like, kind of loose bohemian-style clothing, yelling at cars to give her money. Yeah. And it definitely looks like she comes from a different social strata than she actually comes from. And
true.
She's experiencing life with a little less privilege for the first time, and it means that no one will give her money for the phone.
It's true. And if I recall, that's just where we leave Paris.
Yeah.
That's Paris.
Serious rap on Paris.
Yeah, let's not rap on Paris, but that's Paris. And so then while Rory is sitting around and realizes Paris has been gone for a long time, she pulls out her phone and she calls Logan. She breaks and calls Logan. And possibly the most contrived thing this show has ever done, his outgoing voicemail is, hey, blah, 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 leave a message after the beep. By the way, Finn, if this is you, your voicemail box is full. Come meet me at my place at 9:30. A whole bunch of us have rented a limo, and we're going to go hit the town. And so then she realizes that Logan's out partying and not inviting her. And so then she storms off.
And I have to say, I completely expected this to turn into her going to meet up with him. Because he says exactly where he's going to be.
Yeah, like, to go confront him.
But no.
I mean, I'm glad we didn't have to see Logan's stupid face in this episode, but...
True.
Also, what the hell, Rory? What the hell, Gilmore? And so the episode ends with just, like, the most stereotypical scene of Rory on the floor of the bathroom sobbing while Lorelai is comforting her, saying, why won't he call me? Why doesn't he like me? Sobbing like a 12-year-old girl.
Oof. No, that's more like a 15-year-old girl.
It's true. And it's just like, okay, this is what this is perfect. This is what Rory Gilmore's character has been reduced to. Like, really? Really? This is who Rory Gilmore is now?
Well, and the thing is, we've got this plot before, because Jess was bad at calling, and so we had, is Rory going to sit by the phone, or is she going to stand up for herself? And that's kind of okay, because she's in high school, she's still figuring this out, but, like, I'm not saying people in college are grown, because they're not, but she is old enough at this point to communicate at least a little.
She's regressed is the point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who hasn't regressed sometimes?
Yes, but
when you with dating. But this was
regressing
a bit
for two
much.
Straight seasons, three straight seasons.
That's true. I forget about that.
Baby.
Yeah.
Baby child, no.
And it's I'm just like, especially when I think about it, is like they have cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
So if he wanted to call you, he'd call you, girl.
Yep.
Just like,
you know who's
at some point.
You know who's still available?
He's just the worst
and super nice, Marty.
Marty.
Once again, so far the worst thing you can say about him is he's milquetoast.
Pretty much. So that's the Rory plot. We also had a brief Lorelai plot. We found out that a magazine. I'm guessing a different magazine than the magazine from last week, or maybe the same magazine. Did they just do magazine plots 2 weeks in a row? But a magazine has decided they want to make the Dragonfly Inn their cover story. and they want to come and take pictures and interview Lorelai. So Luke's really proud of her. It's actually very sweet. Luke's super proud of her and wants to go celebrate and everything. And she has this interview, and it's going really well. She's getting along great with the interviewer. They're chatting, they're talking. And somehow Lorelai's mother comes up in the conversation. And Lorelai is... She has her guard... She lets her guard down with this interviewer. And she is very candid about her feelings toward her mother. And, like, very, very candid. Remembering that Lorelai and Emily's relationship is worse than usual at the moment. So she's recalling this later to Rory, like, oh yeah, I talked about my mother, it was great. And Rory's like, you didn't. Like, Rory's a journalist, she knows. She's like, no, Mom, you just gave them a shitload of dirt, and they're going to publish all of it because it's juicy. And I may have told Grandma about this article while we were making small talk, so she's going to read it. And she's going to see you say these horrible things about her. And so Lorelai's not sure what to do. She tries to call the magazine, and the writer's like, sorry, it was on the record, and I've written the article, and it's too ingrained for me to take out. Like, if I take it out, the whole piece collapses, but I have to pull the whole article.
I have some questions about this that I want to talk about later.
Yeah, I question the integrity of that. And so then, basically, Lorelai just decides, okay, fine, pull the article. And makes the choice to spare the strife with her mother over this thing that could be really great for her career. That's the Lorelai plot. The bulk of the episode actually concerns Luke. At the beginning of the episode, a guy named Old Man Twickum dies. And this is, I mean, he's never come up before, but apparently he was a grand old establishment of Stars Hollow. And Luke is very interested in what is happening with his estate. And so he finds out that Mr. Twickum had left in his will that the house would just be given to the town. And so Taylor decides, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to turn it into a museum with all of these cool random bits and bobs and artifacts that Twickum had because he was old and knew a lot of people. And we're going to turn it into a museum about Stars Hollow, and then we're going to, you know, run that for a little bit, and then when it's done, we'll sell the house. And the proceeds can, you know, be used to enrich the town. And Luke volunteers immediately to help. And it's weird. Everyone's weird about it. But Lorelai's like, why do you want to do this? He's like, well, Twickum took care of me. Like, when my dad died, he looked out for me. He was kind of like a second father to me, even though he's never mentioned this before. So, you know, and I wasn't there to say goodbye. So, you know, I feel like I owe it to him. And Laura's like, oh, wow, I didn't know. Okay. But then he turns around and he tells Taylor, because Taylor's like, you hated Old Man Twickum. Why are you doing this? And Luke tells Taylor, like, oh, you know, Lorelai, you know, we just got out of this rough patch, and she asked me to do more around town, and I really want to make things right with her, so I want to get more involved. So Luke's being shady. He wants something, and he won't tell anybody what. So whatever, it's a Luke and Taylor plot. Taylor gets on his nerves, Luke tries to talk back, Taylor's obviously insane, and, like, just slowly goes mad with power, and they end up putting together this absolutely dreadful museum. All of the objects that they found are, like, maybe possibly related to this person who has the last name as a famous person, so maybe they were a cousin kind of deal. Nothing is actually all that good, and there is the most hilariously bad, like, Disneyland diorama stage show. I tell you, I died when it was like the first settlers of Stars Hollow, like Jebediah and his wife, and then their children, like their daughter, who is the most terrifying mannequin I have ever seen, and their son, tragically bored without speech. And I was like, that's a weird thing, but then it's so fucking funny. They, you know, they do the bits with, you know, the piped in voiceovers, and then just randomly cut to the little boy mannequin and just silence for like 5 seconds. It was. I found it funnier than I should have.
Well, it was the line after they talked about like the boy who was born without speech, and he's like, "I wonder what those first conversations were." I'm like, "Well, did you just try to make a joke?" Like, that part kind of made me laugh.
Yeah, that whole bit.
Wow.
Like the wacky town stuff is always hit and miss with this show, but I think that particular scene it hit really well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a thing. The other thing is during the construction, like Taylor hires some carpenters to help out, get things fixed up, and one of the carpenter, like the liaison for the carpenter is Dean. And so Dean just shows up and is giving Luke the cold shoulder and getting him attitude the entire episode.
The last time they saw each other, it was over a very bad game of Bop It.
It was a very heated game of Bop It last time they saw each other.
Okay, I'm going to have to go watch that episode.
No, you don't have to.
You really don't.
I mean, I think I've said it before when I was on here. Y'all have, like, I think I like Gilmore Girls, but only when because y'all give really good recaps. Like, I can hear y'all recaps and enjoy it. But once I go and watch it, it goes up. My interest in it goes up and down. So it depends.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's how I feel, too. So Luke finally snaps and just gives Taylor the come to Jesus talk. And because Taylor's talking about, oh, well, we need to, this is great. Let's expand this. Maybe we can make this a permanent installation. And he's like, Taylor, this is garbage. All of the stuff here is junk that isn't famous. The diorama is a shit show. He doesn't say shit show because this is the WB, but he basically does.
Right.
The cannonball fell through the floor. Like, this is horrible.
And the house is going to take more money for upkeep than it can bring in donations.
Yeah, like, not only is it an affront to everyone's tastes, but also it's going to cost the town money. Do your thing. Close it down. I want to buy this house. I've always loved this house, and I've always said if you wanted to start a family, I would want it to be in this house. And Taylor kind of perks up at that and is like, oh, you mean like starting a family with Lorelai? And he's just so weirdly invested in their relationship that he likes the idea.
Too much.
You don't know the half of it. That he likes the idea of them settling down and having kids. So he's like, look, do your thing. Shut it down. Sell it to me. I know we don't like each other, but I promise you I will give you a good price for it. And Taylor seems receptive to this, and he goes, well, okay, and he does. And he says, all right, I'll do it. And it seems like that's what's going to happen. So then later on, they're getting things all taken down, and Dean shows up again and is giving him the, yeah, whatever. Luke's like, okay, Dean, come on. What's your problem with me? Is this still about Bop It? This can't possibly still be about Bop It. And Dean's like, whatever, man, go back to your girlfriend. And Luke starts prodding him and prodding him and prodding him. And Dean goes into this, oh God, on this most horrible of Dean tirades of like, you're just like me, Luke. She's going to get tired of you, Luke. She wants more than just this town. And, you know, you can't give that to her. And you and I are the same. And this town's all we're ever going to be. And so, you know, you and Lorelai, you're never going to be good enough for her, Luke.
It's also, like, can we just like restate one more time that Dean moved to this town from Chicago when he was 16.
I forgot about that. You're right. That, oh my God. Dean was just fucking insufferable in this episode. So yeah, that doesn't work for numerous reasons that I'll get into later. And then he just storms off. And I am told that this is actually a series wrap on Dean.
Really? This is the last time he shows up?
That's it. That's his last scene. That's his last scene.
Hallelujah.
It's just this shouting man-baby rant of just, like, totally ineffective non-parallels.
Yeah,
and then he storms off. This character, who's been around since episode one, this is the send-off he gets.
Especially just because this makes zero sense, where he's like, it's not good enough for her. And it's like, it's supposed to be obvious that he's a child and he doesn't know what he's talking about, but it's supposed to, like, kind of hit when Lorelai just bought and renovated an inn that she called her dream. She's been engaged in town activities since she was, like, since Rory was old enough to let her. Like, Dean should know that, even if he's clueless and bitter and horrible. He's not that stupid.
Isn't he, though?
I don't think so. I don't think he's quite that clueless. I mean, maybe Flanderized Dean that we've gotten to, yes, but he spent months in her inn while she was rebuilding it and talking about how much she loved it.
Yeah, I didn't buy any of that interaction.
No, I mean, Dean, this is my memory of, like, when I was watching the show very closely, I think I really liked Dean, but then it's just, like, this is just, like, reminder of, like, yeah, Dean became a real dick towards the end, and I fell off, probably the season before this one, years ago.
Fair.
So it's just, like, one of those things where I think I just got tired of Dean, for sure, and a few other things. But then I go back and I watch it, and I'm like, oh, it is interesting again to get caught back up. But my point is, I just felt like, what the hell were they going to do with Dean?
They didn't know. Send him off to fight demons.
Right, yeah. Oh, that's true. And I always just think, like, oh yeah, this is when he goes and becomes Sammy, so I at least can be happy with that. Or a year or two later, he becomes Sammy.
No, this is about, like, it's...
It was pretty immediate.
It was pretty immediate.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, oh, like, wow. He got written off this show so he could go beyond Supernatural. Now he's jumping straight from Supernatural to this new Walker, Texas Ranger.
Wait, what?
Yes, that's a real thing that's happening.
Yeah, yeah, he's gonna be Walker, Texas Ranger in the Walker, Texas Ranger reboot.
Oh my god.
Also on the CW. So the WB that eventually became the CW has kept him employed for like over 20 years now.
Secured the bag.
Yeah, like honestly, he can just keep doing that until he's too old for teenage girls to think he's hot.
I mean, that man still looks very fine. So he's good. He'll be fine. I mean, like, I think Sam Winchester made me like him. Dean, I hated him. So.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, go back and watch the early seasons again, and he wasn't exactly great in those either.
No. It took a minute, but Dean carried us through. Sorry, this is not a Supernatural episode. But you know that will make a great podcast. No.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if that already exists, just somebody comparing Dean Forrester and Sam Winchester.
Oh, you know it.
I'm
pretty sure. But yeah,
I'm sure.
This just, yeah, seeing that all go down with Dean was just like so weird. I'm like, what? And then like, I had no idea. I didn't know that was like his last, I guess, ever appearance.
You wouldn't think it. It's just, I happened to mention to, you know, friend of the show, all caps, Kiri. I mentioned to her, Kiri, I just watched this episode and Dean's so horrible. And she was like, you want to know what's funny? That's his last appearance.
Until a year in the life. So for the
And even that, isn't he only
series?
In a year in the
oh,
life?
Oh, yeah. A year in the life. I need to watch that then.
Yeah, isn't he only in a year in the life for like 2 minutes?
Yeah.
He's just in there for like one scene. I'm like, by the way, Dean still exists.
He still stayed in that shithole town that he complained about?
Or something.
No, it's all he is. He didn't complain about it. It's just all he is and they need more.
They need more.
So,
yeah, so that's what happened this week on Gilmore Girls. Okay, so, Paige, what did you think of this week's Dragon Ball Z Kai?
I actually liked it. I'm just gonna flat out say I liked it. It had some wizard stupidness, and I'm still not here for that, but it was fun and kind of just a nice change of pace to see the Z Fighters tearing through enemies like they're tissue paper. Like, to have people set up as threats and then just have them be knocked down because they have been training for years and years to get to these levels that they're at. And we just get to enjoy it. It's like, this episode felt like being on a good roller coaster where you just go and it's just punching and speed for 30 minutes and then you're done.
I have to say, I loved, loved, loved. They had the scene where Babidi and Dabura are watching Vegeta's fight with Pui Pui. And Dabura's like, ah, yes, this may look bad, but don't rest assured, Lord Babidi. Pui Pui is simply, you know, biding his time and toying with his opponent. And like that usual Dragon Ball Z thing of like, oh, he's holding back. And then Vegeta just fucking lays him out and they both go, oh shit, like, oh wait, no, he's not holding back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best he can do, and Vegeta's wrecking him.
Yeah, this was a complete deconstruction of all of the Dragon Ball garbage that I am used to. Like,
right?
They still hang lampshades on it where they say, oh, you know, are you strong enough? He's playing with him, but no. No one's playing with anybody. They're just punching each other as hard as they can. And it's over quickly, and it's fun to watch them shine. Like, writers talk about the try-fail cycle where you, and even like the rules of Pixar talk about how you care more about the effort characters put in than their successes, and that's why having characters fail makes stories interesting. But here, it was just nice to see people live their best life.
I agree. I mean, I think I agree with, that's like a thing in Dragon Ball Z where, you know, it's like one fight can take up to 4 episodes. And if it's like the big boss battle, sometimes it's just going to take 10. And half of it's just Goku charging up a spare bomb. So it is very like refreshing once you get to this point and you realize, and it's, I think part of it's because like it's been 7 years. They're not like that. They're not young and they're not that young anymore. Like specifically Goku and Vegeta, like they're dads. I mean, Goku was a dad at the beginning of this, but it's more like they're more mature fighters and wiser.
Well, and Goku doesn't have time for this.
Right. They don't have time for this. They don't have time to, like, toy and just, like, ooh, a little show me what you got. Where it's more like, nope, we gotta get through this. So, yeah, the fact that we got through 2 fights in 1 episode was great. And I always like when it's just, like, because we know Super Saiyan is a thing, but it's always funny when, like, a new enemy, like, on Dragon Ball Z shows up and, like, I didn't think Earthlings were supposed to be this strong. And they always just keep saying Earthlings. I'm like, because they're not Earthlings, they're Saiyans. But it's just like, because we know that. Y'all don't know that. Y'all
joke's on you, Saiyans fucko.
Right, and like, y'all think all the Saiyans are dead. Or people always thought that, I think it's a thing in Dragon Ball Z lore, where they thought the Saiyans were just a very weak race. They knew they were a vicious warrior race, but they didn't think they were that strong because they, no one was aware of the Super Saiyan legend, or no one has seen a Saiyan as strong as Goku and Vegeta.
Or they all got beat up by Frieza.
That too. Or just the fact that they're all dead. Except for these 3 to 5.
But I mean, even before that, they were under Frieza. Like, they didn't have the strength to beat him. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Yakon is roughly as strong as Frieza, or much stronger than Frieza. And so it would be understandable if they thought that his 800 Kilis was enough.
That's true, because who did Goku say was about as strong as Cell was?
He said he got the vibe that Deborah was probably about as strong as Cell.
Yeah. Okay. Which for them is kind of like, they can wipe the floor with Cell. Like, the threat of having to fight Cell again at this point for them, they wouldn't have to go Super Saiyan probably to do it.
I just like that he's like, oh, he's about as strong as Cell. And I mean, he was tough, but we took care of him. Like, who's we, Goku? Yeah,
that's what I thought, too. Who's this we? Your son? Your 13-year-old son?
You're taking credit for your 13-year-old son's work. Like, yes, you believed in him, but that's not a good look.
I just feel like Gohan is deservedly so, like, deserves to go off one day on Goku. I'd be like, Dad, you stayed dead and you didn't have to, because bad things still happen to Earth. Like, I just remember that being one of his arguments. It's just like, villains keep coming to Earth and it's because of me. I'm like, no, Goku.
I really loved getting to see a more carefree Vegeta in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
That moment, like, when he was toying with Pui Pui and, like, you know, sent him flying with a punch. And then we got the thing of, like, him just kind of bouncing on his heels.
Yeah, the boxer footwork.
Yeah, he's doing the little boxer footwork, which is like, this is just Vegeta having fun, which I don't think we've ever seen.
No, no one ever really sees. It's like a glimpse. But no, it was just, like, made my day.
Maybe Bulma.
Yeah, maybe Bulma. Maybe. But
maybe.
Maybe. Once.
Whatever the status of the relationship.
In the shower when he was, like, I feel like Bulma would, like, sneak in and, like, wait until Vegeta sings in the shower and then, like, jump in and go, like, I caught you. I got it. It happened.
Oh, no, she'd record it and use it as blackmail.
Oh, yeah. That's how also she gets him to go get the Dragon Balls for her, or at least stay married.
Or do the laundry.
That, too. This is the seven, now that it's realized it's been 7 years, this is, like, their 7-year itch, this arc for them. Just, like, it's a very trying time for their marriage. I'll leave it at that. And then, like, it's convenient that it's 7 years, because they've been together for seven years, or however long they had Trunks ago.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, what did you guys think of Gilmore Girls?
I liked this episode more than I feel like I should have. The museum stuff was all just, like, usual bullshit quirky towniness, but I'm sorry, that diorama scene was funny. Like, it wasn't funny. I could tell, like, this isn't funny, but I'm laughing at it. Like, this is all stupid jokes, but
it was bad, it's funny.
The cutting to the little boy mannequin and then dead silence.
Jesus.
It's a stupid joke, and it's an easy joke, but it got me. Mm-hmm. Because I knew it was coming. Like, as soon as it started focusing on all the other three, I was like, oh no, they're gonna do it. It was great. I liked the kind of through line of Luke acting kind of shifty, and this, like, even the viewer isn't quite 100% sure what Luke's motivations are, was kind of fun. And I really liked just Luke being very obviously effusively proud of Lorelai for getting the magazine. That was sweet. That was just very sweet and cute to see Luke just getting visibly excited for his girlfriend for accomplishing a thing. Was nice.
And he did research.
Yeah, he researched the magazine to try to be like, oh, you should get this writer, not this writer. And she's like, that's not how this works, honey.
He's just a very proud boyfriend.
Yes, so and positive. I loved that.
I love positive Luke.
Yes, positive Luke is great. And you know, I didn't hate the Lane plot this episode. Like, Lane flying off the handle, whatever, but she was drunk, so like, okay, it kind of makes sense. But like, Zach being a guy who has very strong opinions about what kind of cleaning solution they get, and then also being in a bluegrass band but hiding it because he still wants to seem rock and roll to his girlfriend, is both just incredibly cute and sweet, was played off as incredibly cute and sweet. And it was like, Zach just was good in this episode.
Is it?
I wouldn't quite go as far as good, but not bad.
I mean, him flipping out when she was asking about his whereabouts was your usual shitty Zach, but then when you find out the motivations behind it, it's like, oh, he's just self-conscious. That's actually kind of cute.
It is, yeah.
Like, I was confused by this episode because I found their relationship endearing, and I don't know how to process that.
Is it wrong that I immediately said, like, out loud when I was watching, it's like, oh, he's cheating?
I mean, that's obviously what you're supposed to think.
I didn't trust it. I just didn't trust him. I was like, nah, he looks like a cheater. Just another trash-ass man.
I mean, cheater. Every other episode he has been in up to this point, you would be 100% correct. It is bizarre that he was not an obviously trash-ass man throughout this entire episode. Because he has been 100% trash his entire appearance so far.
It's just always when people react that way in shows, I'm like, what do you have to hide?
Yeah.
Like, what is it that you're hiding? But, like, at the, coming full circle, it is, like, and now having a better idea of their relationship, I'm like, ah, this is supposed to be cute. Okay.
Yeah. And, like, all their previous appearances have been, this is supposed to be cute, but you've written it so badly that it just makes it look horrible. Mm. But this time it was actually, so I'm not sure how to process that. And I think that, the Lorelai plot kind of felt perfunctory. I almost wished that she hadn't have had that conversation with Rory. I was waiting for it to just be that she gets a call out of the blue from Emily getting chewed out. And that would have been more interesting. So this just kind of felt like, okay, what was the point of this plot?
Well, it is interesting that she chooses to drop the story instead of shaming Emily publicly. Because in a move that I thought was stupid, like, for some reason, the journalistic integrity of this travel magazine is high rather than it maintaining good relationship with local business people, which felt like everyone treated it like it was an interview with the Washington Post on matters of national security. It's like, no, it's a fluff piece in a travel magazine.
Right.
Maintaining good relationships would be the ideal thing, not just like, oh, it's funny that she dunks on her mom.
That's what, like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I don't think the journalists would even include it. Like, that's highly unprofessional of them.
Right. And I was thinking the same thing. Because, like you said, it's a travel magazine. It's not a gossip column. It's not, like, no one's going to read this magazine to find out the dirt about Lorelai's mother and her's relationship. No. And no one's going to care.
Like, maybe, like, Gilmore tries to put a warmth into it that she hasn't always experienced in her life or something like that, but even that is questionable for the style of article it is. But the choice that she makes to drop the piece instead of shaming her mother does show either that she doesn't want to deal with her mom, which seems less likely, but more that she still wants to maintain some semblance of either being the adult in the situation or of not hurting her mom. And so that's interesting, but I don't think they pulled it out enough to say what they were trying to say with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I picked that up, but I just felt like it was so weak that it was still like, okay, what was the point of this? Like, that wasn't enough to justify how much screen time it ate up.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, yeah, no.
And
so you have to either give that more or less.
Yeah, exactly. I already said I really liked the scene of the three girls getting drunk and talking about the trash men in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted that to be the entire episode. And I think I've already made my opinions clear on the Dean stuff. Just like, what? Why are you here? Why was Dean in this episode? It didn't...
No good
reason. I mean, I get they tried to sell us at the very end that he may have planted some more seeds of doubt in Luke.
Yeah.
But it's like, we literally just went through the breakup-makeup cycle with the two of them.
Right.
Well, and the other thing is that, if I remember correctly, the drama that comes out of this episode isn't at all about that. It's about something slightly different. And I do want to say, last week's episode, weirdly, the only through line from that episode to future episodes was Kirk not having a place to stay. So I feel vindicated that last episode was completely pointless.
And why doesn't Kirk have a place to stay?
He decided he was tired of living with his mom, but didn't think through that he would actually have to go somewhere after he moved out.
And why is that the town's problem? Never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Gilmore Girls.
The next thing I was going to say is that, like... I know. For some reason, I normally don't mind Kirk's shtick. I usually find Kirk charming. But for whatever reason, in this episode, I don't know if it was just me, but in this episode, he really grated on me.
Well, because usually Kirk is odd and immature and a little needy, but he's usually trying to hustle for himself. Like, he's working a million jobs. He's usually trying to start some entrepreneurship thing. He's usually trying, and here he seems happy to let everyone else carry him.
Maybe that's it. Well, and just like, there was a really long scene where they're all eating breakfast and like Lorelai and Kirk have a lengthy exchange that is literally just written like a mom scolding like a 9-year-old.
Yeah, it was like a look at if Lorelai had two other children, like that morning when they were like, she was telling him to like put on a jacket and stuff. That might be talking about a separate scene than you are, but I was just like,
no, that's what
like,
I was talking about. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. It was just like one of those moments where, like, so if this was, it just felt like she's being a mom to all three of them.
Yeah. So yeah. If Rory had a jaded older sister and a bratty little brother.
Uh huh.
Actually, no. Paris has big middle child energy.
He has a middle child. Yes.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's what I thought of this episode. I'm not sure how I felt. I think overall I liked it, but there were a lot of weird things in it, and it made me feel some confusing things, and I'm not really sure why Dean was there. Of course, I'm not really sure why Dean was there could be the subtitle of this podcast. Nisha, do you have any thoughts on either of these episodes that you wanted to express?
The town is just always bizarre to me, because they are celebrating a man dying. Not like in a traditional funeral way, but literally there's
with
a
merch.
Man walking around, yeah, with merchandise and selling popcorn and stuff, and then while Taylor is saying, like, show some class and respect. I'm like, y'all are literally making this a spectacle.
Feeling that, like, this is, like, the third or fourth time, actually, I think it was 20th
right.
time that old man Twickham has almost died, which makes me wonder how young he was when he started dying.
Right.
He must have been
like
ancient.
He was, like, 100. So, any particular time, they don't think he's actually going to die, and it's gotten to be an excuse for the town to get together, but this time it happened to be the time where he actually died.
Right.
So it could be that the seriousness wore off the third or fourth time,
mm-hmm.
but it is definitely, like, Wacky Town energy.
Definitely.
Very, very Wacky Town energy. Yeah, like, I already said my points about Dean in this episode. Luke, the whole time, I at first almost bought the whole him and Mr. Trickham having a relationship and it all being about that. Or, like, I just felt like it has to be more than that. Than just that, and it was about the house, so I was just like, okay, yes, this makes sense. Because I just felt he was dealing with a whole bunch of bullshit for.
This episode was cute lying men
mm-hmm.
or horrible absent men. Those are your two yeah. options.
Those are your two options.
Those are your two options. Yes. And then.
Or Dean. Which is somehow Dean. The worst option.
The absolute worst option. Oh, and then, yeah, just going back to, like, the whole Rory and Paris, like, scorned women thing.
Yeah, they count as scorned. All three of them count as scorned women.
Yeah, all three. I liked it when all three of them together and just, mm-hmm. like, getting, like, venting and drinking and, like, this is what I want. This would have been dope as a spinoff. But then it's, like, also towards the end when, like, Rory's, like, reached a low point and crying about him not calling her. And I'm just like, oh, sweetie. Men will continue to let you down. So just get used to this one now and wipe off your face and get back up again. Like, it's like one of those things where I'm like, oh, yeah, she's in college. She's, like, not that old, but she's not that young anymore. But, like, mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, sweetie. Get used to being let down by men now.
But also, like, yes, men will let you down, but they might let you down a little less if you didn't pick the absolute worst one.
That is the thing. Yes.
Believe the man when he tells you who he is.
Right? Logan's not even trying to hide it, and she's still like, hi, Logan.
If he seems like a piece of trash, do not pick him up off the ground.
Nope, don't pick it up, yo.
No, she's like, it's like that scene in Elf where he finds gum on the subway.
Yes.
So, Paige, do you have any questions for me, or Nisha, have any questions for me about this episode of Dragon Ball Z Kai?
Weirdly, all my questions are basically about Gilmore Girls.
I also have Gilmore Girls questions.
Then let's pull it out.
Well, Nisha, did you have any Dragon Ball questions or no?
I think y'all answered my questions. My biggest one was just, like, the town being wacky at the funeral. And then y'all answered it kind of, like, as we went through. But if any come up in my head, I will let y'all know.
So my first question, Taylor's running the town meetings in this episode.
Yeah.
Is that not a town selectman role? Or did that plot get resolved in a previous episode and I straight up fucking forgot?
No, it has not been resolved. And I think the main thing is, like, A, they probably forgot, and B, Jackson, who is supposed to be the town selectman, was busy in this episode.
Yeah, he directed this episode, and yet doesn't appear in it.
Nope.
Okay, so that was just a continuity error. I had one other question about this episode. So Luke sees Dean a couple times while they're putting together the museum. But then later when he's walking around with Lorelai and Rory, he doesn't mention it at all. Wouldn't Luke think it'd be important to say, like, oh, hey, by the way, Dean's here and he's obviously got some kind of chip on his shoulder, so just be ready for that. And I don't know, that just seemed weird that Luke wouldn't mention it. And it also seemed weird that Rory and Dean, like, they went out of their way to bring Dean into the episode, and yet he and Rory never ran into each other.
Yeah, I think the Rory thing is weird, and I don't have an answer for that, but I could see Luke being awkward about the fact that he had gone off on a teenage boy earlier, like the last time he had seen Dean. And so he's just not going to bring it up. Like, he knows that Dean has a reason to have a slight chip on his shoulder. And so he's just going to, like, hope that this situation goes away.
Maybe. I don't know.
I have one question.
Okay.
So, actually, I have two questions. One, I think this is a different Stars Hollow origin story than we got previously.
Yeah, wasn't it like two lovers?
Mm-hmm. Star-crossed lovers?
Had a Romeo and Juliet. I mean, they probably mm-hmm. just, they fucking made this up for this diorama.
I feel like Taylor would care to get the fake history fake right. Because he loves this story, so it's weird that if he had an adult male and female mannequin that he didn't do that. But the other thing I want, and I'm actually kind of glad Nisha's here, just because she and I both grew up in the church.
Mm-hmm.
We have had previous mentions that Taylor is, like, he definitely pulls the Protestant Christian morality when he wants to throw weight around, but he does not go to church. We have that in canon that I think the pastor specifically says, like, I never see you. It was kind of a weird flex this week to get both, like, the hardcore, like, the little girl saying, I love Jesus, and the anti-evolution comment where it didn't need to be. Is it just to make Taylor seem like an idiot because he's a Christian? I'm not going to call, like, persecuted Christians or whatever, because it's a stupid thing. It's not a card that actually exists, but it felt weird to have a new angle of horrible Taylor be ignorant Christian.
Yeah, that felt odd to me, too, because he has never, they've never played, like, the he's super fundamentalist card.
Yeah.
That is a weird... Do you think it's just, like, a continuity thing? Like, did they just, like, forget?
I mean, I'm sure it is, but I feel like there's more to it than that. Because I think there is that stereotype of, like, you know, now we would call it the Karen. Like, Taylor's kind of a male Karen of being really uppity and too much in everybody's business and, you know, just generally difficult and a horrible neighbor to work with. And that usually does go along with, like, you know, fronting being, like, a super devout Christian and being holier than thou but never actually going to church and, like, not actually, you know, practicing what you preach or actually knowing anything about the Bible. Like, that's a stereotype that I totally believe Taylor would fit into, but it is weird that it just came out now that he's like, ah, the often now repeatedly debunked theory of evolution. Like, that's not his kind of thing.
No, I feel like he pulls out Christianity or Christian morality whenever he needs to get a moral high ground to get something done in town.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't think he would pull it out unprompted. And that's why it felt really weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it was still a great joke, but it was like, I didn't care for the evolution one. The little girl saying, I love Jesus was a good, quick laugh line.
Oh,
but it doesn't have the care. Like, the evolution one didn't work for me. But the I love Jesus one was a good, quick laugh line. But it's the problem of humor not being grounded in character work.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's a cheap laugh, but it doesn't really work. Meanwhile, like, the cannonball joke was hilarious.
Yes.
Where Taylor puts up a sign where the cannonball fell through the floor and includes flashlights so you can look down at the cannonball. Priceless.
Very. That was pretty priceless. Who do we want to swap this week?
You know, I kind of want to swap Taylor and Bobbity.
Okay.
I want Taylor to be in the control room giving an explanation for all of the historical and ecological views of, or, you know, like, just, I would like him to give a museum docent's take on transporting them to all the alien planets. Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, this is the beautiful star cluster of Romulan that is on the far edges of space. Now, people say that this was first populated by star-crossed lovers who died in the darkness and the cold. And then meanwhile, we can put Bobbity in charge of making his own museum, because I feel like he would enjoy making the dioramas by teleporting in planets to just a 4x4 square.
And he would, you know, just somehow find a way to make it all a means of siphoning energy for Majin Buu.
Exactly. Like
Majin Buu is the cannonball that fell.
Yes, the cannonball. The cannonball is Buu's egg. Yes. I want to swap Yakon and the cannonball, because both lived in perpetual darkness and you need a flashlight to see them. And so I love the idea of, like, Goku and Vegeta and Gohan walking through the museum and seeing, like, you know, Spopovich and Yamu and Pui Pui, and then there's just a hole in the ground with flashlights, and you flash on the, oh, there's Yakon. Well, he doesn't look very fast. I think I could take him, Vegeta. Oh, yeah, you could take him, Kakarot. meanwhile, I don't know. I got nothing for a cannonball sitting on a pitch black planet in the reaches of space. But I just like the idea of using the flashlights to go see. They're using flashlights while they fight Yakon.
It works.
What about you, Anisha? Who do you want to swap this week?
Is it cruel of me to kind of want to swap Luke with Deborah?
No.
No.
And it's only because, like, Paige, you put the thought in my head because you said Taylor with Bobbity. And it's just like, Bobbity's just like this small little man who just, like, is in charge, but I don't know, it's just like, it makes me think of, like, oh, you're just a small little man, someone could kill you. So it's like kind of like Luke having to deal with Taylor's orders and just trying to admit him, making him his yes man. I just be thinking, like, you probably just want to get rid of him, So I just imagine just like swapping those two together and putting them together right there.
Oh yeah, Luke would be so frustrated by Bobbity's whole shtick. Like, I will change the interior of the room to be their planet. Like, I just spent a week building that room and you're going to warp it over to some other planet? Right. Are you kidding me, Bobbity? Also, what? The interior to the outside? How does that even work? Now you're just talking crazy.
Right? And Luke doesn't, like, easily take flack from people, so I just feel like that would be, like, him talking back to Bobbity. But then on the flip side, then you have Deborah with Taylor, and that Taylor's just gonna get killed. So,
well, it depends. It depends if Taylor has the same, like, does the Majin seal still mean that Deborah has to obey Taylor? Because then Taylor would just go mad with power, because anybody who questioned him could be turned to stone.
True.
That could go one of two ways.
Now he'll make the best museum.
Yeah. He would finally get that yes man, just like yes master,
and it would be a museum of Stars Hollow. All of the mannequins would be Stars Hollow people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a horror movie.
Ooh. I like it. I mean, I love horror, so yes.
So with that, I believe that's Gilmore Ball Z for this week. Nisha, thank you so much for joining us again.
Of course, thanks for having me back here again.
Yeah, we will definitely have you back next week. Or not Yay. Next week. Next season. Every Yay. Week. Nisha's our third co-host now.
As long as you guys don't leave me alone. I mean, you can't. It's your show. But I am always happy to come on the show and talk about Gilmore Girls and Dragon Ball Z. And I really do mean it. I don't know what it is about y'all recaps of Gilmore Girls, but I am just so invested that I'm just like, ooh, this is juicy. Like, what happened?
It's because we cut out all the crap.
Yeah, and also, I've been meaning to thank you guys. So, like, there was, like, I fell behind on my podcast a while back, but I was binge listening to y'all's, and there was just, like, three episodes in a row where y'all just kept on giving me shout-outs.
We love you.
We love you.
Oh, my heart. See, I'm a middle child. You can't give me this much love.
You can't give a middle child that much affection.
I'm just like Yakon, and if you give me too much, I'll explode in tears, though.
No, you're like Majin Buu. If we give you enough, you will emerge and be ready to conquer the universe.
Yeah, you know what? I'll take that. I will gladly take that. So, thanks, guys. I love y'all, too.
So, if our listeners love you, which hopefully they do and want to get more of you, where can they find more of you?
They can find more of me at or on Twitter at LA_NEY_SHA, where they can find me usually talking about anime or thirsting about tall, broad men, as Kate, my co-host, loves to roast me about every now and then. So, and of course, on my podcast, Did You Have To? And So Here's What Happened, which are both hosted on the But Why Though community website.
Yep, and we'll have links to all that in the show notes, so you can just click on through and get more of your daily dose of Nisha. As for us, you know where to find us. Our Facebook is Gilmore Ball Z, our Twitter is at Gilmore Ball Z, our email is gilmoreballz@gmail.com, and our WordPress is gilmoreballz.wordpress.com. Please send us emails and comments and whatnot. Let us know what you think. We really love hearing from our fans. Also, please rate us if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Facebook, wherever it is you get your podcast. Drop us a rating and a review. We really appreciate it. And with that, I believe that is it all. So, thank you for listening, and we will see you next Saturday. So, will Jess's last episode also be this anticlimactic? Can Vegeta please say Lugi every episode? That was delightful. And who's the bigger blowhard? Mr. Satan or Taylor? Find out next time on Gilmore Ball Z.